Chairman Cooper is now 5-7.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Engineering and Operations Committee meeting for the Santa Clara Valley Water Agency on Thursday, April 6, 2023. First off, let me start off with some announcements. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Summit Circle Engineering Services Section Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging into the agency Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the meeting using the call-in number or Zoom webinar link. In the event there is a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public using either the call-in option or the internet-based service, this meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue without remote participation. The remote participation option is being provided as a convenience to the public and is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend the meeting in person. To participate in public comment in your computer, tablet, or smartphone when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, click the raised hand feature in Zoom. You'll be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. To participate in public comment via phone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial *9 to raise your hand. Phone participants will be called on by the last two digits of their phone number or by name. When it is your turn to speak, dial *6 to unmute. People attending in person, please complete and return the public comment cards. The procedure for tonight's meetings are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item. Staff will present. I'll ask for public comments. Then I will ask for discussion and questions from the committee members. The committee then comes to a consensus to move this item forward to the board or not. Any PowerPoint shown on tonight's meeting will be posted on the website. All committee members are present this evening. And with that, we will go ahead with the meeting. And item one is to the Pledge of Allegiance. And Mr. Peterson, please lead us.
Please stand and raise the flag and put your hand over your heart and say after me. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any members of the public that wish to comment on items not on the agenda this evening? Anybody online, Leticia?
Seeing none.
And item three, Mr. Manning and Mr. Alward, I guess, is going to participate as well.
He is not today.
That's me tonight.
Thank you very much, Chair Cooper. My name is Courtney Mail, Chief Engineer for Santa Clarita Valley. I'm presenting the proposed CIP budget, Capital Improvement Plan budget for fiscal years 23-24 and 24-25. This mostly focuses on the engineering and operations projects, but as recommended from previous presentations, we've added some additional slides for water resources and administration to be more comprehensive of the whole CIP budget. Next slide, please. This is the proposed PAYGO budget for fiscal year 24. The bottom shows the proposed. Oh, you're going to have trouble seeing that.
That's one right here. Should have to look it up there for now.
And then the other one is covering the total. Thanks, Liz. So the proposed one shows 76 million total budget, as well as the proposed funding. The proposed funding is 18 million from revenues anticipated this year, 49.7 million from carryover of unspent funds from last year. Various reasons that we will talk about as we go through projects, why we have a high amount of unspent funds from the prior year. And then an anticipated 8.5 million from connection fees offset to some of the expansion projects that we will go into detail. a little further on as well. Next slide, please. For fiscal year 25, we have $55.7 million budget, as well as the proposed funding. The proposed funding is $15.7 million from revenue. In this case, the revenue includes anticipated capacity fees. We have $8.9 million carryover from unset funds from last year, and then a $30.9 million from reserves in order to meet our PAYGO budget for the upcoming year, our upcoming fiscal year 25. Next slide, please. So focusing on the engineering capital improvement program, these are our larger projects. I try to include the ones that are $1 million and greater grouped here. It is a very large budget that we're going to be going through. It's going to be difficult for us to complete this budget. We know that material shortages and regulations can impact our schedule. We've been experiencing that. This year, we also got to experience quite a bit of rain that impacted our schedule. So several of the projects you're going to see are carryover projects from last year that we weren't able to complete. The C next to the projects means we anticipate all of these going to construction, not design. So we are expecting a larger expenditure in the coming fiscal year. Going to be a busy year for construction. One of the reasons we were asking for an additional inspector is to be able to handle some of that cost in-house for the inspection. Next slide, please. You can again see the rest of the projects. Total CIP for fiscal year 23-24 is the $39 million, and then for 24-25 is about $21 million, almost $22 million. And again, a lot of that is construction level work. And so some of it will carry over from one year to the next. But overall, that's what we anticipate being able to complete in the next two budget years. Next slide, please. For August 3 and 4, we're going to go over some of the projects, all of the projects that were over $1 million. This is the August 3 and 4 project. These are to drill two new wells in around the Magic Mountain area. I took a photo of the well actively being drilled. This is the test well, and you can see the rides in the background. We are right adjacent to the Magic Mountain fences, amusement park fences. The new wells are designed to replace other wells that were impacted by PFAS, and a portion of this project will be reimbursed through the settlement agreement. Each well is estimated to produce 2,000 gallons per minute or about 3,250 acre feet per year for a total of 6,500 acre feet per year. Next slide, please. Underground storage tank replacement. This project has been advertised for construction. Bid opening is scheduled for April 26th of this year. At the June E&O, we will be bringing this project forward, hopefully with a good bid. And for construction award, and we're anticipating construction to begin early in the next fiscal year. Next slide, please. The Dean Zone improvements, we've been showing this project a few times. We've gone through this, and we've actually started the construction on this project already as well. This is a developer-led project. It is the developers obligated to build all of their own facilities. And what we chose to do is work with that developer and share in the cost in order to handle a deficiency we identified in a 2013 master planning study. The benefits of doing that participation is the developer contributed all the land, not only for the tank and parts that they need, but our future tank needs as well. The developer conducted the entire environmental review on their cost. They did all of the grading for the site on their cost. And we are able to gain an economy of scale for both the design and the construction of these tanks that are going in, partially to serve the development and partially to serve our deficiency. That project is expected to be completed mid-year 2024. The original goal was to be completed by December of 2023, but we are having some issues with getting some of the materials, or the developer more specifically is having some of those issues. And we are working as fast as we can to get them through One of the longest lead items, as an interesting tidbit, is the switch gear and SCADA equipment is now over a 1 year lead time in order to get it. And so something we may be coming back to the board with in consideration for our tanks and pump station projects as to whether or not we should be ordering some of that material ahead of time and building those in-house ready to go on the future tank site. So we will discuss that as we come closer to a project that's going to need one of those and we encounter that long lead time ourselves. Next slide, please. Last year, we started to have engineering and operations work collaboratively on our pipeline improvement projects. Engineering has started to take the lead on design of projects and sending them out to bid for construction. And there's also a number of projects that are still handled in-house, typically smaller in nature. Our projects are based on several criteria: age, material, failure rate, location, criticality, unforeseen and unexpected happenings going on with projects. But it does take a while to plan for them. For the fiscal year 23-24 and 24-25, we have about a $14 million budget for pipeline replacements in each year. Of that, I would say about 11,000 to 12,000 is being handled by engineering, and about, 11 million to 12 million is being handled by engineering, and the other 2 or 3 million is being handled by operations. Quite a few projects to be done. We have broken them down on individual lists. Next slide, please. So you can see we have a variety of different projects to work on. Both a few sewer projects in there, as well as some major construction projects we have going forward. The Dickinson Pipeline, the construction contract was awarded on March 21st board meeting, and the notice to proceed will be issued this month. The Smythe Pipeline replacement design is being finalized, and DEW waivers are being prepared. There's a few conflicts that we will ask for waivers on from our partner agency. Valencia Marketplace pipeline replacement design is being finalized and DDW waivers are being prepared. The Abdale Maple Bay Beech Grove Court is one that we just ramped up in priority due to some more frequent leaks. So we are beginning design on that. We already had the Maple Bay Court and Beech Grove, but the Abdale we are adding in. So waivers also need to be prepared, and we need to do some final design for that project as well. The Sand Canyon Sewer Line CEQA is in progress, and we anticipate next fiscal year to complete CEQA and begin work on the final design for that. The McBean-Henry Parkway project, that's a replacement of an ACP project that we are working on through our development group in conjunction with the city for increasing a turn lane or a acceleration lane as part of McBean Parkway. And then Poe Parkway also has a small ACP replacement. Next slide, please. The operations projects, we have a variety of smaller projects from operations. One of the challenges that we recently have, and I have very sad news to say that Ed Endell recently passed away. And he was the person that was doing all of our support work for operations. He was doing survey as well as engineering work for them. It was a very low cost, very practical approach to get that engineering work done. So it's a void we're going to have to look into filling. If at all possible, we will do some of this work in-house as well. But with our current workload, it's challenging to fit that in. And we also need to have the expertise CAD drafters to be able to do that. We do have a few people who are capable of doing that, and we tend to overwhelm them already with work, but we will be filling that void. Very sorry to hear about his passing, and really contributed to the agency in a lot of meaningful ways. Next slide, please. So the operations CIP overview, we have generally operations projects. This is the part where Mike would normally be cooperating or taking over on part of this, but I'm going to go through it because I think we've worked together enough on these. And then we have Keith here to help with questions. But the operations capital improvement projects are typically require limited engineering support. They consists of several categories, and usually for the budget, we list them as group categories, saying that they're a pump station maintenance or they're a reservoir maintenance item. Behind that information, there is a drill down where we actually identify the projects that we anticipate doing. But operations has a wide breadth of maintenance that they do, obviously, at this agency. Next slide, please. So as a broad overview of the capital improvement program, PAYGO budget for operations, they have approximately $16.7 million for 23-24 and a $14.5 million, $14.6 million for 24-25. Next slide, please. For the state storage tank improvements, we have a total of 102 storage tanks. We try to do 3 to 5 year dive inspections on those storage tanks. We'll do them more frequently if the weekly inspections determine that that is necessary. You can see some of that evidence on the exterior of the tank as you visit. We do have operations crews that visit these tanks weekly, some tanks even daily. Some of the key projects that we're working on here is to recoat Copper Hill. I do believe Copper Hill is interior only, and then you have North Oaks 1 and 4, both the interior and exterior of that tank. Next slide, please. We also, operations have been working on the meter replacement project based off of age, volume, and read style. They've been aggressively replacing any of the older meters to make sure that we're getting more accurate reads, moving to an AMI system. We have a grant. So we have 7,500 remaining for the grant proposed area and then about 3,700 under general replacement. Next slide, please. We have a total of 55 wells in the agency. We have a lot of different well rehabilitation criteria, both making sure you're maintaining capacity, production. We look at the age and obviously PFAS treatment at these various wells to determine what needs to be maintained. Some of the key projects we have here are work on Saugus 1 and 2. And I don't actually know how to say Gita. Thank you. I know I've heard it a lot of times, but next slide, please. We also listed the equipment replacement project. It isn't in our budget anymore. That was transferred over to the administration and fleet work group, but operations is the one who uses this equipment. So I thought it was appropriate. We thought it was appropriate to keep it in the slides for our program to understand how much equipment we have and the fact that these need to be replaced. And so there is a pretty significant budget. Next slide, please. So moving on to that, looking at our capital improvement program for administration, technology, and fleet, you can see that equipment and vehicle line item of approximately a little less than $2 million a year to keep updated and replace vehicles as they are aging, and also to handle new regulations as you are getting enforced to move to electric vehicles or other alternative powered vehicles. And then we have a pretty fair amount of technology improvements and replacements. Not our focus here today. This will be presented probably at facilities administration, F&A meeting, as well as the next slide will be presented at Water Resources. So on Water Resources, we wanted to show you their CIP budget as well. A lot of that goes into the large expenditures go into the Buena Vista Rosedale Rio Bravo program and Resiliency Master Plan, which we usually refer to as Resiliency Initiative. Both approximately 13.5 to 13.9 million in each year, respectively. And they will go into more on that in the Water Resources Committee in detail on their projects. Next slide, please. So there's half of our budget. That was the PAYGO portion. And now we go into the debt funded or bond funded summary, which is where we start looking at the WIFIA funding for these projects. We actually have the $75 million bond that was issued by the board recently, earlier this year or end of last year, and how we are going to expend that in our debt proposed projects and what those debt proposed projects are going to be. So this is showing how we're doing our funding and where that money is going and how much we anticipate remaining at the end of this two-year budget, not a lot remaining in our debt finance at the end of the 2 years. Next slide, please. So the overview of the projects, you're going to see a lot of well projects and recycled water projects. We also have the emergency storage project listed in there. That is probably our single largest expense, especially in year two, when we really get into the heart of construction on that project. It's a very, it's up to $48 million between that and the pump station. So you'll see the majority of those charges coming in at that point. Next slide, please. We also have the LARC pipeline and some other additional wells pipelines that we have coming into the debt funding. So a total projected debt funded CIP for fiscal year 23-24 is $46 million. I'm losing some zeros here. And then fiscal year 24-25 is $92 million. And again, a lot of that has to do with probably four major projects, the emergency well and pump station, and then the treatment for the TU, T7, U4, U6, S1, and S2, as well as the S wells S6, 7, and 8. Those large projects all anticipated to be in construction in fiscal year 24-25. Next slide, please. So a little detail on some of the projects that we have coming up here. The Earl Schmidt Flotation Plant Collection System. This was a previously approved project. It is in construction roughly about, I love engineers because they put this numbers, 45% complete. I'm sure they went out and measured exactly how far we were. We are scheduled to be complete next fiscal year. I do believe in the first half of the next fiscal year. The contractor has been working really good, and we are keeping on schedule minus the rain, which causes some pretty big delays, because not only do we have to wait for it not to be raining, we have to wait for it to dry out to continue some of our excavation work for putting in these large basins that you can see in yellow on this plan. Next slide, please. Some of our groundwater treatment improvement projects. We lumped them all onto one slide. Below the picture on the bottom is Santa Clara Honby Wells PFAS treatment. That is moving along. It's already in construction. We are continuing our focus on regaining local water supply. We have several projects moving forward for PFAS and VOC treatment. The TU and S wells are a combined project on a single site for treating PFAS and VOCs. Completion dates likely to go beyond fiscal year 24 or potentially even 25 as we begin construction, most likely in the 24-25 fiscal year. Well, 201 is in construction. We'll restore approximately 3,225 acre feet of groundwater lost to VOC contamination. Well 201 has been down since 2015. Well 205 is in final design and will restore approximately 4,350 acre feet of groundwater lost to VOC and perchlorate contamination. Well 205 has been down since 2009. The Santa Clara Honby Well PFAS project is in construction at about 25% complete, and we will complete that project in the next fiscal year. And the E-wells are in planning. Staff is working on land acquisition to locate the treatment site. Next slide, please. The other large item that we talked about were the recycled water projects. So we have been approved for a DWR grant of $3 million to offset construction costs of the Phase 2C. We are currently pursuing other grant opportunities as well. Recycled water Phase 2C is in final design. We are in the process of securing the Caltrans permit. Construction will start late fiscal year 23-24. We also are needing to pursue NEPA as well to secure other funding. So we are starting to do that with all of our projects, make sure that we're following all the WIPIA guidelines for both using NEPA and the BABA and American Iron Steel. All of those requirements are under WIFIA, and we need to do that for both our PAYGO and our CIP projects in order to have matching funds per the WIFIA program. Next slide, please. The large project we have, large construction project, is the Backcountry, formerly known as Magic Mountain Pump Station. Evidently, we've called too many things Magic Mountain. We have to break apart from that now. So we're going to call this Backcountry, which is actually the road that leads up to the reservoir. The board approved final design on March 7th of 2023, and design is progressing and will continue into next fiscal year for the pump station. Next slide, please. We are also constructing the backcountry reservoir. Board approved final design on March 7th of 2023, and we'll continue into next fiscal year. We are also still working with the developer on land acquisition details. I would like to point out that we have listed here 7.9 million gallon regional reservoir. If you look at the photo that we provided, which is an old graphic of the pipeline that we prepared and the planning for this, we only anticipated being able to fit a 5.7 million gallon reservoir. Working with our consultants, Michael Baker, we were able to better utilize that site, still with a rectangular tank, but partially buried, a concrete tank, and we're able to achieve an additional 2.2 million gallons of usable emergency storage on that site, saving us having to investigate additional sites to find that storage. So good work for our design team and working with the consultants to get that approved. Next slide, please. The Castaic Conduit, the project will eliminate a bottleneck in our regional distribution system, currently existing in 36-inch in diameter. Project is in final design and will continue next fiscal year, hopefully going to construction soon after. We will be building a 54-inch diameter pipe to replace that 36-inch diameter. Next slide, please. Sand Canyon Reservoir Expansion. This is board-approved planning services on January 17th, and planning will continue into next fiscal year. We are also doing the CEQA and NEPA evaluation, anticipated to be done as part of our finalization of the design. So this is another portion of the emergency storage on the east side of our water agency. Next slide, please. I don't need to go into too much detail on the LARC. We're going to have another presentation by Brent today on the LARC pipeline. We have the finance agreement in place, and the water service agreements are coming before you today, signed by Lily of the Valley and LARC. So next slide, please. The S-Wells near Bridgeport Park, a treatment for PFAS. Proposed at this site, lots of vessels, should be achieving approximately 6,000 gallons per minute recovered, from this site once we can get the PFAS treatment done. We also did get a $5 million grant from the Bureau of Reclamation for this project. Next slide. There we go. These are the accounting slides, so I'm going to do my best. I'm not necessarily the best accounting explainer, but we have the total budget and how we are paying for our various projects and how we determine how much rates and revenue we have remaining after looking at our expense budgets. And so this is where we came up with the $18 million in our PAYGO budget, and then again the $15.7 million that we listed on the second year. Next slide, please. This is showing that all of the budgets that we have projected for the prior 2 years and the years coming up, or the prior last year and the year 2 years coming up, are balanced budgets. Next slide, please. And the listing of our unrestricted cash position and operating fund for fiscal years 23 and 24 and 24-25. And with that, I will close out the presentation. Sorry, it's a long one.
So do we have any members of the public wishing to ask questions?
Seeing none,
not right now, not sleep.
Hey, questions from the committee?
Wow. Yes. Question. So on the Bridgeport Park, I noticed only asking for 25K for the next, for this upcoming fiscal year. Any reason why? Actually, it might be, I think it's on slide 19. Can we go back to 19?
I'm pretty sure we have more than that.
Sorry, it was more than that, but it was less than the 300 that was what we've approved. 25K. 2024.
That's for the pocket park on the water resources PAYGO budget. The pocket park is the project across the street from the S-Wells project.
Right.
It is a conservation garden.
Why is that figure so low?
I think we can go to Steve Cole to answer that question.
I mean, if it's this low, then yeah, absolutely. But I'm sure that's not the case.
There we go. I think I clicked the right button finally. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Great. Good evening, everybody. Yeah, Director Ozahosky, that's out the next fiscal year. So we're planning to spend most of the dollars because of the construction schedule this fiscal year. So that's why you're not seeing the total budget amount. Most could be spent this year. A little will trickle over into next year.
That makes sense. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Cole.
Yep, you're welcome.
And regarding the new well by Magic Mountain, you said that the projected output would be 6,500 acre feet per year?
Yes. Each well, we're anticipating to be 3,250 acre feet per year.
Okay. That's about a little over 2,000 gallons a minute.
Right at
2,000 gallons a minute per year.
And can you go on slide number 34?
And Doreen's on now as well, if you need her to answer the finance ones.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, never mind. Back to you, Chair Cooper.
Any other questions? President Martin.
Thank you, Chair Cooper. Courtney, to say that we have a lot on our plate is quite an understatement. I think every time we see this list of projects, it just comes home again how much your department operations are doing, water quality, water resources. But I would just add, I'm not going to nitpick. I just have one question about the ECP pipe replacement. That's probably a small item, but why is that just age related?
No, it's actually related. The McBean Parkway one is related to the city doing a acceleration lane next to the hospital. And so our pipeline previously had gone under where the sidewalk was. They're cutting that down and we would have insufficient cover over the AC pipe. If it were ductile or some other material, we would be more comfortable with less cover. But with AC, I don't like to risk having insufficient cover.
Okay.
Somewhat related to AC pipe, but more related.
I have a question about the PVC pipe replacement. We're all wanting to.
Yes.
Secondly, the master plan work that Hazen is doing, where are they on that project? Is that information feeding into our long range planning for water storage? Is this supplement? I know we did a water storage plan some time back, and probably a lot of this replacement scheduling is based on that. How's Hazen's work going to feed into this overall program?
Yeah, they have been feeding in. We've been looking at what they've been produced. They've just started to get the model almost done and calibrated. It's anticipated that by this July, we will have a revised hierarchy of CIP projects that we will incorporate in. These are the projects we already know about, though. These are the ones that are fixed. So that usually that planning horizon will affect the coming years, not this year, especially when most of these projects are going to construction. The completion date for the Hazen master plan has always been December of 2023. So we are anticipating, we are on schedule for that. They're doing a really good job. They're doing a lot of coordination meetings with us. We are anticipating being able to use the model earlier than that. We anticipate using the completely calibrated this model this summer to do our own planning in-house. But the actual completion and having a completed master plan for publication is December.
And third question is just on the general question. When we're doing replacement, obviously it's better to replace things before they fail. We know the cost to replace something in an emergency situation is a lot higher than doing a pre-plan replacement project. But how much does industry standards, let's say, for life expected lifetime of infrastructure work is feeding into our decisions, or is it mostly experiences of our operations team and what they know about our system?
We really are developing a risk model that calculates both of those. That's why the consultants meeting a lot with operations. Obviously, the very simple calculation is end of useful life. But if we only used end of useful life, our CIP budget would need to be much, much higher. So we're taking a more pragmatic approach. We're looking at the risk of failure and consequence of failure of our pipelines into consideration in addition to the material and end of useful life. There's a lot of times that undisturbed, you can leave the ductile iron pipe or the other pipes that you have in place, the ACP pipe. If you don't disturb it, it will last a lot longer than its typical end of useful life. And we don't want to mess with that. But when we notice that we're having failures in certain neighborhoods, we elevate that priority. If we notice we're having some consequence of failure there, or you have a higher risk, such as near a hospital, we may actually lean towards the end of useful life because a failure in that area would be critical. So those factors into our decision and come into part of the master plan for developing our CIP and prioritization. But that's definitely a collaborative effort.
Okay, I do have one more question. How much of the recent inflationary pressures that we've all felt supply chain issues are affecting our scheduling and budgeting on this? I would say significantly. Are we keeping up with that, or is this probably a full-time job trying to keep up with the cost of construction?
It is. Fortunately, we are able to see a lot of examples. We have a lot of sister agencies that we are able to go to, and the consultants don't just work with us. They work with a large variety of different agencies in California. So we're able to get updated cost information before we do a project. We do engineers' estimates before we do any projects, and we update those into our models. We also put escalation from 1 year to the next. We're hoping that meets, but the reality is some of these projects we may not be able to complete, and there may be some money that we have available to accommodate if we miss the mark. But I think we've been doing a really good job of keeping up with that very quick inflation that we've seen. And the material impacts, the delays are harder for us to anticipate. And we've started to add into our contracts the ability for contractors to recover some of that cost. One, it's only fair that we pay what they have to pay for that material when they buy it. We will do a contract typically for pipeline and reserve that cost for 90 days. But if it's going to take a year to order that pipe, it may be difficult to hold that price for that long. We will do the best we can working with them, but we have started to add some clauses that will allow them to request that hardship for us to review and approve if needed. And that way we get more bidders and more competitive bids on our projects.
So is it safe to say then at least these numbers are reflective of the latest information that we know?
For today.
So those numbers reflect the hardships incurred by vendors and material vendors, is that right?
We anticipated the inflation on the costs within our project budgets. We assume that those project budgets that we calculated today include that. The timelines for completion, the variability in the supply is not something we can readily factor in. So I'm not sure about those items. We are trying to our best to anticipate that, but I would say from a cost perspective, we feel pretty confident that the costs we have today, if we bid them all today, would be similar to the costs we listed in our budget.
And has any vendor requested hardship compensation from us yet?
We had one for the price of steel, and we made arrangements for that and split some of the costs.
Thank you. And back to you, Chair.
Peterson.
Gary, you asked a question that was on my mind too about the master plan. But The Saugus wells, they're under construction presently?
The Saugus wells are going through well testing, zone testing.
Oh.
So although that is technically part of construction, we drilled the hole and we put in the screen. We're zone testing now on the first well, and then we will begin the drilling and zone testing of the second well once that completed. And then we will come to the board for the above ground facilities once we are confident that we will be able to achieve the necessary gallons per minute out of each of those wells.
On the Saugus wells, also kind of related to the Whitaker settlement issues?
They are, yes. So part of those wells are reimbursed by the settlement agreement.
Okay. But of course, you're all set up ready to do PFAS treatment on those wells, I notice.
Yes, we are anticipating and we'll have the site available to treat if necessary.
I was thinking about the how many projects you have, and of course, some of the projects are kind of been around for a while in the agency, like the Castaic conduit. So that is under design presently?
Yeah, that's nearing completion of design. We advanced the obtained an easement that took a very long time for us to get for one specific section of the project, and we advanced that portion of the project, but the rest of the project is nearing completion of design.
And the idea is to replace that 36-inch section, or is it to keep the 36-inch section?
I know crossing the river, the idea was to replace, mm-hmm. But I'm not sure about the other one. I haven't seen the final design on that. Mm-hmm. So I think it is to replace the 36. I don't think we're leaving.
It's a very significant project in the budget.
I think the reason we are leaving it in place now that I'm recalling this project is that we can't take the pipeline down long enough to replace it in place. And so we have to parallel, but then once we reconnect, we will remove the 36.
Okay.
Takes me a while sometimes to go through the catalog.
Well, it is kind of impressive that the number of projects that we have online to work on in a couple next 2 years. And with that, I'll give it back to you, Chairman.
Well, like Director Peterson said, the number of projects that we've got going the next couple of years are amazing. It's actually pretty hard to spend that much money in that period of time. I was surprised at how many you have identified that will actually go to construction. That's a lot of projects being managed all at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of the questions that I had were asked. You had one on there replacing the diesel tank. Is it leaking? Is that why we're replacing, or is it just aging out?
It's aging out, and so we're bringing it above grade.
That's what I was going to ask, if it's going above grade, because
mm-hmm.
Good. But I'm glad to see us do that. Hey, any other questions?
No.
Some of you will get the privilege of hearing this again, I believe, at F&A, Ken. And then, of course, at the full board at the beginning of May, we will continue to do this full board presentation. Obviously, a critical part of our agency is to make sure we budget appropriately and are managing our projects appropriately. So.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, item four, this is to recommend authorization of the chief engineer to execute water service agreements with LARC and Lily of the Valley. Mr. Payne, I guess, is going to present this.
Good evening, directors. And Liz, can you pull up the slides, please?
Yes, okay. 1 second.
So, good evening, directors. For the record, I'm Brent Payne, one of the principal engineers for SCV Water here at Summit Circle. The purpose of this evening's presentation is to seek your recommendation for board approval of two consolidation and water service agreements for two small community water systems. Next slide, please. So this map you've seen in Courtney's presentation a while ago, it shows the location and scope of the project. We will consolidate two communities into our system, the Lily of the Valley, which is in the lower left in the purple shading, and then the Los Angeles Residential Community, or what we refer to as LARC, the purple shading in the upper right. The red zone shows the Catella zone that we'll be connecting to. And then we will be constructing a 12-inch ductile iron pipeline that'll go from Shadow Valley Lane near the city limits. And that'll extend about 1¾ miles to the LARC community, which is just north of Vasquez Canyon Road. We'll install master meters in front of each community. And then each of the communities will continue to own, operate, and maintain their on-site distribution systems. Due to the elevation rise along Bouquet Canyon Road, the project also includes an on-site pump station on the LARC property that once that's constructed, they will own and operate that. Next slide, please. So I'd like to just start with a little background on the finance agreement itself. So we submitted a final grant application back in 2021 that the State Water Resources Control Board, the state, reviewed and approved and then issued us a financing agreement. I wanted to highlight just a few of the key elements of the finance agreement. First is that we set up water service agreements or consolidation and water service agreements with each community. And that's to spell out specifically the terms and conditions for service. Each water service agreement is to be signed by SCB Water and the respective party, either LARC or Lily the Valley. A second element from the financing agreement is how we bid the project. And so the state grant will cover the cost of an 8-inch pipeline, which was determined to be the size that's needed to serve LARC and Lily the Valley only. And then SCB Water, as you know, decided to upsize the 12-inch so that other existing residences that also have private wells that are threatened along the pipeline route that allow some of those individual residences to connect to the pipeline. SCB Water will fund the difference in cost between the 8-inch and the 12-inch pipelines. And so because of this, the financing agreement requires that we issue two sets of pipeline plans and bid schedules for bid, one for the 8-inch pipeline, which will serve as a basis for the state's grant funding reimbursements, and then one for the 12-inch, which SCB Water will pay for the marginal upcharge between the two sizes. Financing agreement also allows that if bids for the 8-inch pipeline exceeds the approved grant funds, then we'll seek an amendment from the state for additional grant funds to cover the extra cost. Next slide, please. So I wanted to highlight just a few key terms and conditions of the water service agreements, which is why we're coming to you tonight. We'll be providing service, and some of it's just the basics, like we'll be providing service through master meters in front of each property. Each community, as I said, will continue to own, operate, and maintain their on-site systems. So that's part of the water service agreements. Another key requirement relates to the consolidation itself, which is a state objective. So LARC and Lily of the Valley currently have domestic water supply permits that they'll be surrendering, and they will become part of our SCB water system. I understand that they are looking forward, both Lily of the Valley and LARC, to surrendering those permits because it's going to greatly lessen their burden of all the regulatory requirements that you well know that go with water supply permits, sampling, reporting, training, staffing, and the like. So. Another element of the water service agreement is that they will be disconnecting their domestic water supply wells from their potable distribution systems, but we will allow them to continue to use the wells for on-site irrigation as long as it's in a separate non-potable system for landscaping. So. And then SCB Water staff will witness the disconnection of those wells. So those are some of the provisions that are in the water service agreements. And then the water service agreements also outline the process to address cost contingencies during construction, since LARC and Lily of the Valley are, you know, responsible parties to the agreement. Next slide, please. So project funds will come from the grant and then also from our capital improvement program. So the grant is for $3.9 million, and that's intended to cover all the project costs that are related to the 8-inch pipeline, as well as the on-site pump station at LARC, And it covers from planning, design, construction, and construction management. Our CIP will cover the marginal cost increase from the 8-inch to the 12-inch. And so in this current fiscal year, we budgeted $1.5 million for that construction. Since construction is now, you know, we're anticipating starting in the early part of next fiscal year, 23-24, we're rolling those funds over and including 1.5 in this upcoming CIP that's pending board approval. Next slide, please. Next steps in the project will be to execute the water service agreements. And as Courtney mentioned, and I'm happy to report, both LARC and Lily of the Valley have now reviewed and signed those water service agreements. And so we're now coming to you for authorization to basically hold up our end of the bargain to sign those water service agreements so that we can move forward. We expect to receive DDW approval, the pipeline plans this month, actually in the next couple of weeks. We're preparing bid packages for the pipeline, and we're working closely with the state to make sure that we have all the latest conditions that are associated with the grant funding, American Iron Steel and some other requirements. Once we have bid documents approved by the state and our legal counsel, we'll be able to advertise for bids. We anticipate this summer. And then after we receive the bids, we'll prepare a final budget worksheet for the state. And they will review and approve that, and then we'll seek board approval to award the construction. We're hoping, and that'll be late summer or early fall. And at that time, we'll have the results of the bids. So if bids have exceeded the grant funds, we'll advise whether we're seeking an amendment to the grant or not. Also, just of note, we have a separate bid package for the on-site pump station, which is on a slightly later track, not much later though. We're currently working with LA County Building and Safety on sort of the final permit renewals so that we'll have that in hand so we can advertise for bids on that. So that's this slide. So last slide, Liz. So the recommendation is simple, that the Engineering and Operations Committee recommends that the Board of Directors authorize the following: the Chief Engineer to execute and deliver the water service agreements with the Los Angeles Residential Community and Royce Lilly of the Valley, LLC. And before I give it back to you, Chairman Cooper, I just wanted to acknowledge a couple of folks that aren't in attendance here, but will be at the April 18th board meeting, or at least on Zoom. One is Sarah Foley with BBK, who works with Joe Burns and has been a big help in working through the water service agreements and working with the state's legal staff on both the finance agreement and the water service agreements. And then I'd also like to acknowledge Lawrence Sanchez. He's our project manager with the state in their Division of Financial Assistance. And he's been a great help and has kind of helped champion this effort on behalf of the state. So I just wanted to acknowledge their contributions. So with that, it's back to you, Chairman Cooper.
Thank you, Brent. That was very good. And boy, this has been a long time coming, and it's really nice to see this thing finally coming down to the final parts of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any questions from public?
Comment, Ms. Noltmeyer? Kendall Demare. It's interesting that he said this has been a long time in the process. Exactly. What is it accomplishing that took so long?
I'm not sure of the question. What took it so long?
Yeah.
It's just the permitting process and getting the money.
What is it accomplishing?
Getting water to LARC Ranch in Lily of the Valley.
Is it good water, or is it like most of our water?
I'm not going to answer that.
You know what I mean. Because it's not usually drinkable.
Okay, are there any other members of the public interested?
Me not.
Thank you.
committee. Director Ohm.
Thank you for the presentation, Mr. Payne. So looking at page 3 of your presentation, 73 on the board packet, we're advertising for bids for 8-inch and 12-inch pipeline to determine the eligible cost for grant and our cost share for pipeline upsize. I understand that. I get that. Is that a common practice? Okay.
It is common when you're doing a cost share with like a developer. In this case, it's obviously with the state. Normally, you would see this if we were doing a cost sharing agreement where a developer was required to install an 8-inch for their development, and for regional benefit, we wanted to upsize to a 12-inch. We would bid both so that we have a clearly defined cost share between the two installations.
In this case, for this cost share, are there requirements to get more than several types of bids, or same bidding process as we usually go under?
It's our same bidding process, yes.
Okay. All right, thank you. Thank you for the presentation. Back to you, Mr. Chair.
Director Peterson.
On the facilities, I'm glad that this is happening, because I think I remember it back in 2015, the start of it all, that discussion. But the booster pump station, I'm a little confused about that. Is it a booster pump station that would be constructed by the agency and owned by LARC, or is it an agency pump station?
So I can answer that one if you want, Courtney. So it will be, originally it was actually to be LARC designed and constructed. And then as we worked through the grant agreement and funding, the state recognizing LARC's severely disadvantaged status, asked SCV Water to help with the construction and then hand the keys over basically to LARC, so they will own and operate it. So it's a small pump station. As you go up the hill, it'll be downstream or on the customer side of the master meter that we provide. And then it's a little package pump station that will allow them, I think there are 2 10-horsepower pumps that will pump it up to their tank so that it helps them with their system.
I will go to the agreement, even though I think we've seen this agreement prior in the discussion. This is the first time I saw this little paragraph. It's on section 10, plan review. The on-site booster station and associated improvements shall be constructed. And that's where you answered. But we go further into the agreement, or the end of it, let's put it that way. Let me get to that section. And the 27, the easements section, is SCV Water will obtain a temporary construction easement and a form of the access license agreement from LARC as required in construction on site. So this temporary easement is only for temporary construction of that facility, not to be owned
by the
agency. All right.
That's correct, yes.
That's all.
President Mark. Thank you, Chair Cooper. Brent, thank you for your presentation. I think you may have mentioned this, but can you say again what happens if the bid comes in for the 8-inch pipeline greater than the amount we have in the grant estimate for that cost?
So that
grant estimate, was that part of an engineer's estimate for the designer put that together, or where'd that number come from?
So we've updated that a couple of times through the course of the grant agreement, but it is dated a little bit. And so a couple of things there. One, the state provided some additional escalation and contingency in the grant to kind of help, address that, since part of the numbers were done as they were going through their approval process. And that took a little while. We have discussed with them in today's market, the volatile market, that we could see bids coming up higher. So they said, we could start. We've talked about the process. So they would grant us they've given us the nod that they would process an amendment to the grant, because the intent is to cover the entire cost of the 8-inch pipeline, whatever that turns out to be. But we would be able to the strategy would be to start with the 3.9 million that they've authorized, and you know, start the construction, you know, the first part of it obviously being submittals and ordering materials and that sort of thing, sort of in parallel with processing an amendment, so that when we're partway through the project, we would have a signed amendment to the financing agreement. So that's the plan.
And then to expand on that, the contingency that Brent talks about is a 30% contingency before we would have to go to amendment. So on this project, $3.9 million, you have over $1 million in contingency to play with before we would have to go to any amendment or any other factors or considerations.
Very good. That's very good. Good question. Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Payne? Brent, thank you very much.
And just as a closure, thank you. I understand we do want to present this at the full board on April 18th, correct? It's not a consent item.
Yes, this is one that there's been enough interest on the board that it would be good to do a small presentation on it.
Yeah, okay.
And I think that's a good opportunity, as you mentioned, Brent, to bring Lawrence to the board meeting, and we'll have Sarah Foley there to answer questions and to acknowledge and thank them both for their effort at that board meeting. So
good idea.
We can have that as well.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brent.
Thanks, Brent.
Item 5, this is to recommend approval of adopting a resolution authorizing a purchase order to Hunsacker and Associates for planning services for the End Wells Drainage Improvement, and finding that the authorization is not subject to CEQA. And this is Mr. Lee.
This is Wylon Lee, our newest engineer.
Good evening, Chairman Coopers and members of the chairman. So my name is Wylon. I'm the engineer and also the project manager for the ML for the planning services for the ML Drainage Improvement Project. We have, Liz, can you show the PowerPoint? Thank you. Okay. So we have an item in front of you this evening to recommend approval of a resolution authorizing a purchase order to Hunsaker and Associate LA for planning services for the Enrail Drainage Improvement Project. And tonight I will present to you. Next slide, please. Thanks. The Enrail site is indicated as a wet start, and it is in the center of the SCV water service area. It is approximately 2 miles east from the 5 freeway and is off from the Valencia Boulevard. ML site is bounded by the Santa Clara River by the north side and then commercial area in the south. It is adjacent to the William Hart baseball and softball field. Next slide, please. This slide shows the ML site layout and as well as the 24-inch drainage line that is in the light blue dotted line. The site drainage is flowing from the N8 well. You can see that is the upper right of the picture, to the existing drainage basin in the lower left of the picture. The runoff then drains into the Santa Clara River by the outlet pipe through the elevated outlet in the drainage basin. Currently, the site has some drainage issues during the route discharge and the rain event, possibly due to the drainage basin being too small or the drainage pipe may be too flat. Next slide, please. Staff has issued a request of proposal for planning services for the Emerald Drainage Improvement Project. 3 proposals were received by Alliance Land Planning and Engineering, Inc., EMD Services, Hunsaker and Associate Los Angeles, Inc. So based on the department standard evaluation procedure as listed on the slide, Hunsaker and Associate Los Angeles, Inc. was selected as the most qualified firm to provide these services for the Emerald Drainage Improvement Project. This project will continue SCV Water's Strategic Plan Objective B5.1, maintain all facility and appurtenance in consistent fashion to achieve operational efficiency and functionality. Next slide, please. So the planning services scope of work include the various level of data collection and review, with the goal of developing 30% planning level design drawings and probable costs of construction for the improvement needed to mitigate the flooding condition. Due to the outlet is in the Santa Clara River and the Emerald site is actually in the city of Santa Clarita property, the existing easement and jurisdictional boundary will be needed to take into consideration. Next slide, please. So this slide shows the project schedule. This evening, we are here at the Engineering Operation Committee meeting. We are planning to take this project to the board on May 2nd, 2023. If the board approves, staff will issue a notice to proceed to the consultant. The planning services should be expected to be completed in October 2023. Next slide, please. So staff recommend the engineer and operation committee recommend to the board, firstly, approve adoption of the resolution authorizing a purchase order for the planning services for the Emerald Drainage Improvement Project to Hunsaker and Associate Los Angeles Inc. for the amount not exceeding $140,000. And secondly, found that the approval of this proposed action is exempt from the CEQA review because the project includes only feasibility and planning study. If appropriate, I would like to request that this item to be considered on the consent calendar on the May 2nd board meeting. This concludes my presentation tonight. Thank you. And with that, I will bring it back to the Chairman Cooper.
Thank you, Wyland.
Thanks.
Any questions from the public for this?
Seeing none.
Very good. Questions from the committee? President Mark.
Thank you, Chair Cooper. Thank you for your presentation, Wyland. A couple of questions about this. Is this drainage system, the current drainage system, is this all SCV water designed and it's simply for our use, or is this, was this an area drain that was put in for the field or some other reason, that, and we're just tagging onto it?
No, this is actually solely for our, because it's actually draining the N wells. So that was multiple well. You can see on slide 3, that is N8. N7 and N well itself, and we are draining into it. So when any rain event and discharge, we're actually backing it up to the to the well site. And it was put in long time ago, and so
I guess that was my question. The actual sump area and the drain and the penetration into the river, was that our design or was that a city design or?
I believe it's our design.
Our design, okay. Mm-hmm. And it's a long time ago, and trying to figure out why. I guess it was never intended to carry the pump discharge from the well.
Possibly, yeah.
Okay. And the standards change over time that requires the storm drains to get larger and have different design. It's also a pretty flat area.
Yeah.
Your storm drains can get impacted over time as well. So it seems appropriate to upsize it to meet our needs for the current N well production.
Okay. Pretty obvious we need to do something. I was just trying to figure out what the history on it was.
Mm-hmm.
Director Rozovsky.
Thank you, Ms. Lee. Yes. Same question from President Martin. So the size, I guess I can understand that, but, you know, the flatness of it, has the drainage settled? I mean, what's the cause of it being so flat?
So the project site itself is flat, so it kind of trickled down, and also the pipe itself is discharging to a drainage basin. And ultimately, because the discharge point is at the elevated inlet, so with all the hydraulic and all that, so basically the water had to be pointing at the elevated outlet level. So if you look at the system, one of the scope of work that we are asking the consultant to check the vertical, the existing vertical alignment of the pipe. So we can actually find out we have, if the pie is truly being too flat, because we don't actually know, we don't have as-built drawings. So this is one of the site investigation. And also we have a camera go in there so that we make sure that what condition is the existing pie also.
Okay, yeah, that was my follow-up. Do we have any as-built drawings? How old is this drainage pipe?
Those end wells have been there
early 2000s.
And we don't have any drawings?
Well, let me, if you don't mind.
No,
a couple issues there. That pipeline, when it was put in versus how it's being used now, are two different things. The immediate needs for well flushing with no treatment system involved represent a certain volume of water, fairly small volume of water. And in that instance, the design that was put in place was sort of pump to land, if you will, pump to this basin. With the resin systems and so forth, there are times when we have to flush, you have to keep water running through the resin. So, mm-hmm. So if we are in a process where we're having to deal with bactes or something, and we can't put the water into the system, but we have to keep it running through the resin, we have to discharge larger quantities of water, treated water, larger quantities than we might have in the past. And the while it still goes to that basin fills up. When the basin fills up, the water keeps running, it backs up into the well sites and floods out through the parking lot. So the permanent fix is to verify, I think, is to verify the piping size and the layout of the piping, but also a more permanent discharge point that would take the water to the river as it ultimately would need to go.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Lee.
Thank you.
Pearson.
Probably Keith can answer this question too, but ownership of the property, we have easements for the wells or actual fee title on the wells sites?
I'm not 100%, but I believe we would probably have easement.
Correct. There's only easement, right.
Typical mode was to have easements.
So any improvements that we make on that storm drain system, we will have to get easements from the city. Is that correct?
So currently we already has the easement for the drain line. So if we're keeping the same alignment, then we already had the easement.
And it would be city or the ball field. Part of it goes to the parking lot of the ball field complex.
Is the complex itself on the
I thought it did.
They do, because they're currently approaching us to be able to get fiber optic to the ball field. So I don't believe we would have any issue working with them to get any additional easement or any other needs we had. We have a good working relationship with the owners of the ball field.
I'll just relate to abandonment of one well that we had to deal with back in, and Keith would smile a little bit about that. We had a fun time trying to deal with the city about that. But that's all.
It looks like we're going right through the facility that we just built too. Is that correct?
Yes, but it's been designed. It's not in the way of where our facilities are. So it's clear.
So we're not going to have to dig up our facility to do this?
We're not going to have to dig up any concrete of our facility. That portion is already dirt. But yes, if we do replace it, we will be digging through that facility to put it.
And we put a bunch of piping across there.
Yes.
So
one more question, if you don't.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. One more question while I'm not. I know Hunsaker is part of our on-call group. Have we worked with them before? I know they're a good company, but have we worked with them on?
Wylon's worked with them quite a bit.
I used to work there. Actually, we have a lot of they prepare a plan for Five Point, which is part of the development plan. We had a small project before, but that is a drainage project. So they do have good drainage background in this sense.
And all of the Five Point projects, are their primary engineer is Hunsaker. They aren't allowed even the merchant builders who come in and build have to use Secker to do all of the design. We have very good design standards with them now. We're down to mostly two plan checks and we're done. So they are getting a lot more efficient. They have local offices that are easy to reach.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you. Good. Very good. Any other questions for Wylon?
Nope.
Wylon, what agency did you come from?
No agency. I started with a private company. This is my first public.
Okay.
So she was with Hunsecker before we hired her here.
Yeah.
Working on 5.8. Oddly enough.
Gotcha. Thank you very much. Thanks for the presentation.
Thank you so much.
Slot consent.
Yep.
Yep.
Thank you, Ayla.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're down to Mr. Abercrombie, monthly operations report.
All right, so the operations and production report is item 6, I believe. I would just point out a couple things, not specifically in the report, but pertaining to the report. You know, we talked about, and I'll go through that in a little bit, some water levels and what's been happening with groundwater levels at one of our last meetings. But another way to kind of look at and evaluate what's happening with demands, if you will. In my case, I don't look at actual customer sales. I look at production, and that's my proxy for what, you know, real demands are. But if we look at demands, the total production, if you will, for January through March of 2022 as compared to 2023, we produced a little over 12,000 acre feet. And this is total production. So it's water from wells and water from the turnout state or imported water. So 12,000 acre feet in 2022 for those 3 months, only 7,600 acre feet in 2023. So almost a 40% decrease in production, obviously due to demands being down because it rained all the time. And correlating to that would be the precipitation that we've seen. So for this water year from October of 22 through, this is through March, was just under 34 inches of precipitation. And that's, I looked back to 2001, and there was only 1 year we had more than that, and that was in 2004 and 5 when we had just under 53 inches of precipitation.
34 inches.
Then, so to update you on some well levels, I updated some of these last month, but we, you know, we've had more rain since then. So if we look on the east end, some of the pine tree wells, we've seen a 35-foot increase in water levels since October. If we look at some of the wells up San Francisco Canyon, we're seeing a 31-foot increase in water levels. The Valley Center well, which is obviously one of our newest PFAS well that's essentially running all the time, it's still seeing a 19-foot increase in water levels. The ball field wells that we were just talking about for the drain project, which again are also running, we're seeing a 14-foot increase in water levels. And the Stars well 207, one of our Saugus wells, that's 42 feet increase. So, and as I think I reported last time, that we had a number of wells that were recording what I'm calling an all-time high groundwater level. And again, this is based on the data we have for that well. So if the well is 20 years old, we only have 20 years of data for that. If it's 70 years old, we have 70 years of data. But we have four wells currently, the T7, U6, Valley Center, and Santa Clara wells that are at all-time high groundwater levels. So that concludes my report.
So all three good. Where's the polling at?
Seeing none.
Ready.
My good news.
GSA people are happy. Yeah, make the GSA board happy. Okay, item 7, Mr. Mayo, Capital Improvement Project Construction Status Report.
Yes, item number 7 in your packet is our projects, several of them near completion, which is good. We need to get them off the books to make room for the new ones. We have a lot of them coming up. What I would like to point out is the two up on top, the Vista Canyon Recycled Water Main Extension and the Vista Canyon Tanks. The tanks are filled with water, and we are able to serve water, even though nobody is currently irrigating. So once they start irrigating, we will be able to do that. We are having the developer is having to remove the backflow devices from those meters, but we do have the city park and the Jefferson Village and the Metro stop all ready to receive recycled water. The water factory is not producing water at a level that we can take into the tank, so those tanks are currently filled with potable water in order to test them as part of the construction, but we're not going to waste that water. We're going to let that be used through the irrigation process as soon as they start to actually irrigate again.
Does the water factory meet inspection?
No, not yet.
Is the city working on that? Or
it is currently owned by the developer still, and it's a private firm that is running the treatment plant. I am not sure why they are having it, but we have requested and have received weekly updates on their water quality, and they're not meeting the standard. Even if they did at this point, we already filled the tanks, so we wouldn't have any room for the water to go until we start to use it.
Any questions from the public?
Seeing
none. Do we see any follow-up from them, like any action plans, and are they opposed to?
Yeah, we're meeting with them on a regular basis. We meet on Monday. Steve Cole and I are meeting with Jim Backer to discuss that project and other parts of that project. We've been working with the city on finalizing the agreement as well, so we can expand beyond those few projects. We already have a temporary agreement in place to be able to serve water to the ones I listed, but we will try to get an update on that and see if they have an action plan in place to get that treatment. Ultimately, we are not, we don't run that treatment plant. It will be owned and operated by the city. So we will hopefully be getting water from that soon.
Do you know what company they use to treat?
PERC.
PERC?
PERC.
Mr. Backer, happy with his connections now?
Or we will discuss that more with him on Monday.
Good. Okay, Courtney, planning calendar.
Yes, with all these projects, we have a lot of stuff coming up on our planning calendar, but I think we have done a good job of distributing the projects around. So we're trying to hold it to no more than 6 topics at any meeting. That's a combination between engineering and operations topics that we bring before you. We've done a pretty good job. We have a couple times where we're going to exceed that and move up to as many as 8. But overall, I think we're doing all right. That. Any questions on that?
Questions
in
public?
Thank you for putting the lab audit results presentation on May 4th. Looking forward to it.
May 4th, October, May 8th.
9th.
8th, 9th. 9th. Yes, we go up on the 8th.
Wear your Star Wars costumes on that day.
That's on the 4th. May the 4th be with you.
Yes, I
got it. Is that calendar easier to read? A bit?
A bit.
Okay, I'll keep working, see if we can get it bigger.
It's about like a phone book to me now. Mr. Abercrombie, report on treatment distribution operations.
Yeah. All right, just a couple things. I don't think I've updated you or talked to you about turbidity for at least a couple months, but I did get an update from our treatment plant supervisor today, and we're currently seeing the lakes currently at about 7.5 NTUs, which seems of late
like, that's super great. But yeah. Again, that's still seven times higher than it normally is. So, and we're seeing a little more than that at the treatment plant, of maybe around 11.2. But it's significantly lower than it was in the beginning of the year when we, I think, peaked at 190. We have seen a severe degradation of our filter run times. We have out there at the beginning of a yeoman's job and doing what they can to improve things. We went through a super fluorination process recently that would improve our filter times. We're back up to about 35 hours, which still isn't very good compared to the normal of 72. And that's part of the reason we previously asked for one of the last board meetings funding to change out two filter beds as a start. There's a lot more that will be coming back to the committee and board and the upcoming year. But those change outs the contracts have been let and the samples have been taken, the core samples. And we're just in the process now of scheduling that time with the contractor. We continue to meet with and work with DWR and MWD to address turbidity because it's not going to be this won't be the last time we've seen it, unfortunately. DWR is addressing or is assessing their inlet tower valves. The inlet tower, as you may recall, has a number of valves on it spaced out every 18 feet or something. Really, it looks like they've only ever drained or taken water out of but one place, and it's not even one of the tower valves. It's sort of like the low drain valve historically. So we've tasked them, and they've agreed to try to assess the condition of the valves and whether they can make changes depending on whether or not the turbidity is any different. And so they're also assessing how we can get real-time turbidity readings at depth discrete sampling. So yes, it seems a little odd, but we're making progress finally. We, on our end, we're evaluating improvements that we could be making with the treatment plants, things that, you know, changes to our operations, changes to our chemical dosing schemes, et cetera. So there's a process in place with the engineering as well as operations to kind of start looking at assessing things that we could do on our side of the equation to deal with these events in the future. And the last thing I'd point out, or just mention, is, you know, we have like Court sort of alluded to during some of the capital stuff, we have, you know, categories in there for facility maintenance, for well maintenance, for, you know, pertinence maintenance, tank maintenance. And that encompasses lots and lots of facilities. And one such facility is what we call pressure reducing stations. And these are stations that basically reduce the pressure to a certain service area, because otherwise, if it was just like normal, it would be too high a pressure based on the elevation differences. We have a team that routinely goes around and looks at these type pressure reducing valves and the stations, whether it be those or whether it be pressure reducing or clay valves, a similar type hydraulic control valve on tanks. And they rebuild and tear those valves apart and put them back together and assess the entire condition of the station. And they do that on a routine basis. So as part of that process, they try to identify if there are any other issues and things going on. And so we did some work recently in one of our pressure stations, and during the process noticed some corrosion in some of the piping that, you know, didn't seem right and whatnot. And so sort of tearing into it a little more, and ended up doing not quite 100%, but close to a full rebuild of the station to basically put it back on course to be there for another 20 plus years. And without any real issue of failure or any notice to, you know, customers during that process. So that's a you know, something I appreciate our field crews' ability to, you know, tackle these projects and pay attention to, you know, they're there to fix A, but when they see B or C is off, you know, they step back and come up with a game plan to address the overall issues.
Question, Liz?
Seeing none.
Me?
Good report.
To hear that they're having problems with the tower valves, they just rebuilt that tower and just refilled the lake and spent a ton of money, the state did. That was supposed to be part of what they were doing, was to get all of those valves back in shape, because they never have worked right.
Yeah. And I'm not sure we know they're having problems with them or not. All we know for sure is they've really never used any of them to speak of. They've used this one, I don't know what they call it, the
zone 3 years.
Sort of like a drain valve almost.
It's the bottom clear.
And that's what they use. That's what they've always used. And so I don't know that we know there necessarily are issues with the other valves, but that's what they're going to determine that there are or aren't. Right now, we don't know enough to tell them, let's take out of, you know, valve 4, because we don't know what the turbidity is at valve 4 versus where they're taking it. So it's sort of those two things have to go in step and step, and hopefully they'll find, because they do acknowledge and have told us that, you know, they've replaced certain valves in the past that they knew were defective and whatnot. And so I'm not sure, I don't know that it's as bad as I made it sound maybe the first time through. I think we just don't know yet.
And the project that they worked on was a bridge retrofit to access the tower. They didn't actually work on the tower. The tower is a separate project that they were talking to us about, but they would need to go below our low water threshold for our pump station, and they would need to build an alternate pump and pipeline access to maintain water supply for us. So that project is in the works in the future to actually work on the tower, because they have to go much lower in the lake level.
Those valves are, I mean, they're hydraulically operated, and the hydraulic lines going down to them when they're 300 feet deep. It's difficult to, there's nothing you can do to fix them. So, but I thought for sure that they were doing that while the lake was down low, but obviously they didn't.
No, not at this time.
And just to let you know, Raul gave a tour for the Water Academy that was put on, did an excellent job. And one thing I told him is, my experience with that pipeline is the turbidity is up at 190 units. The stuff is settling out in that pipeline because it's a huge pipeline. Mm-hmm. And the first time you get high flows through it, you can expect 190 turbidity units back again. It's going to be you'll get it. When you're wanting to get high flows, you're going to get the high turbidity. Right now, it's easy to handle. You have a whole lot of extra filters, but you won't then.
Yeah, you might. It might be a good idea to try to work out a plan with Met for the first big flow through there. They have a little better ability to handle settling it out. Maybe they could run the first flush. And we'll return the favor somehow.
Yeah, if it was at a time where we could shut down for a couple of days and let them take the mud and the catfish out of there, that'd be good. Okay. Courtney, engineering services report.
Been talking a lot, so I will keep this brief. Matt had mentioned that Valley Center, we are eligible for the Aqua Award. We are in the running for that. So I wanted to give a thanks to Jason Yim and Shani Vader and Yogunathan Thirumaran for their work on that. Marin, after he started here, took over that project. Shoddy was working on it before that. And of course, Jason in charge of that group running that project through a lot of effort, a lot of team effort to go into that project. Really a great example of a treatment site on a small postage stamp, treating a single well, but able to get 1,000 homes worth of water back. Very important project for this agency. And so it's nice to see it get acknowledged at Aqua, even in the running. So wanted to acknowledge that today. Wanted to let you know, we did make an offer to an assistant engineer replacement for Dolores, who left over to the Water Resources Group. So we are now going through background checks, and hopefully we'll be getting that person on board early summer. We often talk about, we're showing all of our CIP projects, but development is also a big part of what we do. And the development had been slowing down for a while. We had a little bit of a slowdown, but now we see them ramping back up. So possibly they're hoping to take advantage of the fact that it's drying out and they can get some pipeline going. Both Five Point and Tri-Point are starting projects that they had put on hold for a little bit right now. So they are moving forward with pipe installation, still moving forward with sales. Sales are a little bit slower when we talk to them. We ask those kinds of questions, just trying to make sure we understand that. What we also notice is that planning is increasing. We've had a number of new projects come in, especially small-scale commercial infill projects have been coming in right now. So we are still increasing in the amount of work we're doing. It's not slowing down. And lastly, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Water Academy. I know Matt talked about that at the meeting, at the board meeting on Tuesday. But as a person who got to present, it was really kind of invigorating to get up there and talk about a subject I love, which is engineering, and talk about all the work we have going on, and to see how engaged the public was, to see that the questions they had, really good questions that they were asking, and that group of people really were interested in what we were doing, and you couldn't help but feel energized for that. So I wanted to also thank Kathy and her whole group, the whole group that Matt had thanked on there for their efforts to put that together, because as great as that is for us to do for the public from an employee perspective as well, it's great to see that. It's great to have that interest in water and for what we do. So I really appreciated that event, and I hope we can do more of those. That was a lot of fun.
I agree with you. I hope we do more of those. I attended three of them. I missed the one that you and Mike, and did you present to? You were lucky. but I heard that one was really good too. People were really engaged. They were really interested in what's going on. And the comments afterwards were very good. They had no idea what it took to get water.
That's all.
Well, I never thought of how it would be received by staff. I appreciate hearing that perspective. I think that's really good.
Yeah, I liked it.
Well, you get a chance to do it again, I'm sure.
I want to hear more of Jeff's presentations. I love that. His presentation was exciting. Interesting.
I heard that, and I heard that he was funny and he was exciting, and I thought, who's that, Jeff?
He really was.
I've never seen that side of Jeff.
You don't see that side.
Yeah, he was great. I think he should be a professor. I think he was great.
Oh, that's great. Okay. No other questions?
Seeing none.
Good. Inflation from anybody else? Very good. Thank you very much. Good meeting you.
Thank you.
No, it's all quiet at work. It's high up, you know.